Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency. I am your host, Rainmaker. Today's guest is Phoenix Holmes, current leader of Integrate, formerly Just Housing, an organization dedicated to fighting for the rights and welfare of one of Olympia's most vulnerable communities. Here's Phoenix. I am here at Chaos Radio Station with Phoenix Holmes, and we are going to discuss some interesting topics around organization that supports the homeless. How are you doing today, Phoenix?
A wee bit, a little tired, but I'm okay. I'm still recovering from cancer. Today is one of the slightly better days, but the best thing I'm going to say as a little side note, to all those who are of the cancer awareness and cancer survivorhood, we are sisters and brothers. We can do this. And it's just one step in front of another. So I had to say that as a little hurrah towards everybody.
Definitely. Definitely. I've even heard from a couple of people I've known who have struggled with that fight and have actually won. So don't lose hope.
Very much so.
Okay. So I am understanding that there has been an organization in the past called Just Housing, and it had a development that it went through that it transitioned to another organization called Integrate, and that you have been doing a lot of work with that. Can you give us a little understanding and insight about that?
Just Housing at first was created by multiple individuals in the community, and I say to each of you, thank you for your service that you have done during that time that you were inside of Just Housing. So thank you.
So can you explain what Just Housing was and what it did specifically?
Just Housing was a grassroots organization that was built and designed to go to legislation and fight for the freedoms of the homeless and family and any underdog individuals. They also did protests. They had fun many of a time going down to City Hall and putting up tents. And we had a good old grand time of having a barbecue and just going in front of the City Hall, telling them that their ugly laws and ordinances against the homeless are just an atrocity to human mankind. And that's just one of the simple things that they would do. Other stuff that they would do is getting donations and many other kinds of materials for the homeless. And then they would also help feed us. They would get other kind of donations towards the encampments, so that way we would have propane and water and all the other supplies. They were human. They gave us hugs. And even in the middle of all the struggle of all the laws and all the chaos around us, just to know that somebody was out there fighting for you was invaluable.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So I remember previously when we first spoke at the Power Community Dinner, I remember you saying how leadership from Just Housing had some unexpected life changes and they needed to step away. And then that was when you started taking on Integrate.
Yes, it was due to that shift change. Our leadership needed to do other things, and when the shift change happened, we shifted the name from Just Housing because it was not Just Housing anymore. When the new community came together for our new name, we decided Integrate, because we are not just asking for just housing. We are asking to be part of the community, to integrate back into it, to be surrounded, to be loved. And so we decided that was the new name, because we wanted to show the community a new foundation, a stronger one, and have that compassion be shown in our name.
It takes everyone to make a community, not just some. Yeah. So you have taken on the mantle of bringing Integrate together. Is that right?
Yes. It was a little on the side of scary, I might add. But it was necessary because many of a person didn't have the time or resources yet. And so I decided I'll just step up to the plate for now until.
So what is the timeline for the inception of Integrate? When did you get started with that?
About 7 years ago.
Yeah. So there's a lot, that's a lot of time that's lapsed from then until now. So can you tell me some things that Integrate has been able to achieve and work on 7 years ago? And then how has that journey played out up until now?
Some of our struggle for the moment has been that we are a little smaller than just housing. And so that's one of our issues. But what we have been doing is going still to the legislation, still fighting and advocating for the rights of the homeless, still going out and getting donations for as many of the encampments as we can. We are still fighting the good fight of trying to give hugs out as best as we can, and tears too. Just a faithful companion for now until we have the strength to move a little bit stronger in legislation, because we need to stop these ugly beggar ordinances. And Susan, a very wonderful, Susan Kay, a wonderful advocate, stated very clearly, ugly beggar laws are no better than to having a human control another human and tell them that they are worthless, and then make them into a criminal, and thus make them into a pauper. And this ugliness that we are doing against our mankind and our family members is nothing but cruel and inhumane treatment and punishment, which they have no rights to do against us, because all we are lacking is a residential address, and that's not right.
Have you worked with other organizations?
Well, of course, Power, since we're talking about them, and that we were doing that wonderful dinner also with the YWCA is another one, along with We the United, who was a wonderful whistleblower program that helped us out. And We the People, also another whistleblower program that helped us out as well. Including of which the veterans, and I can just keep going down a major list.
So that's a lot of really wonderful organizations that's worked with you with Integrate. So what are some challenges that you have faced as Integrate?
Severely finances is one of the biggest issues. The library is one of our other supporters into our cause, because they have the wonderful program of the $44. And I must do also another hurrah out to the library system, because without them helping many of a student or, you know, advocate out there, we would not have our system to be able to go get our flyers and many other agency needs to be met, especially because you have just given us the resources of the internet, computers, and of course that $44 to print things. Grateful we are. So that's just one of our struggles, but I can say to you, we try.
So what are the largest barriers that you have come across in the work that you are doing?
First is hatred. That is the most and highest situation possible. I recall myself specifically, I had a little wagon with all my possessions in it, and this people literally took their soda and out of derision started laughing at me and overturned everything and started kicking me down, and I was literally with not much on my back. I hardly had any clothing, and they took their soda and poured it all over me and poured it all over my possessions and kicked it all over, and then decided to proceed to call the cops on me, saying that I had littered the whole entire pavement, even though they had littered it, and it was my possessions. And so the police officer came and actually gave me a fine for littering, a criminal fine for littering, even though it was my possessions that they had taken and destroyed out of their malice and their hatred.
Wow. That's intense. Wow. And you're not the only one who faces this kind of experience. Many homeless people around here face that experience. Is that right?
Yes, I will give you over at the Olympia Theater behind it. They decided to call the police on a wonderful individual. She was disabled, and all she wanted to do was sleep for just maybe 5 minutes. It is somewhere a little bit warm for a brief moment. And they called the cops on her. And when they arrived, they pulled her roughly, and started just dragging her along the pavement and hurting her legs and making her turn bloody. Meanwhile, she was sobbing, saying, "What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Please stop." And all of us advocates that were watching, we were trying everything to get the police officers to stop and hand her back to us. And they said, "Well, no, we're hauling her way to the jail for a criminal trespass." And we're like, "No, all she was doing was sleeping for a moment. Leave her alone, please." And she was just sobbing, "Help me, please help me. I don't know what I did wrong. Please help me." How can you face that?
It's really difficult when you're on the street and no one provides you a place to be. That's definitely a challenge. And many people are just don't understand that. Where are you supposed to go?
There is nowhere to go. Every time even a place called Interfaith even opens a door, and I appreciate the fact that we have Unity Commons and the secondary building that has been put up. But every single time that we even have tiny homes, like the Plum Street one and the one over, I forget where, but every time we have these tiny homes, it is still this gentleman behind the Plum Street tiny home specifically told me that he was 1,103 on a list to get into a place.
Oh, wow. What other barriers have you experienced?
All right. Other barriers is this, not just the hate, but also the fact that cities, due to their ugly ordinances, have decided that our encampments are illegal. even though they have actually done public health crises and many other emergency measures, they are still considering us so destructive and so yucky that they have decided to start taking our stuff. Meaning they go into our encampments without notice, literally. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, they will show up with this big, huge green garbage can. And they will start bulldozing. Even though we might be still in our tents, still sleeping. Some of our people are in wheelchairs, and they will literally destroy our ADA equipment. Thousands of dollars each encampment has been destroyed. Thousands. Plus our ADA equipment. We've had to literally race to try to protect each individual. Back in 2018, we were given a direct, beautiful celebration deal where we were told that a peace offering was given and that a homeless coordinator had been finally selected. And he stated that once it is built, that he would not harm us and that he would leave us alone and that he would go off of the public health emergency crisis. He would work with us. But then, that very night that we were celebrating, having pizza, having our voter rights being written down on voter registration cards, we were getting all that done, having fun, thinking we were actually finally being treated human. We get a phone call from one of our census takers, because they were also doing census at the time, and the census gentleman says, "Oh, the police have arrived at encampments all around the whole entire city. And we're getting phone calls all over the place. Well over 15 of them. And they have surrounded all 15 encampments. And they have literally started destroying every single one of them and are bulldozing. They are literally bulldozing right now while you guys are having pizza and celebrating. They are destroying your stuff. And we start piling out of they're trying to do everything we can to stop them, and they literally prevent us from going back into the campus to even stop them and grab our stuff. They betrayed us that day. They just wanted to just destroy all of our hopes and our dreams and our, there was nothing we could do. Nearly 250 people that night. They all stood downtown at the warming center with nothing except for the clothes on their backs now. And that was it.
How can you even pick up and move forward in any kind of assistance program like that? So somebody didn't get the message?
No, they purposely did it. It was the directive was to actually have us celebrate.
Wow.
And the directive was to actually bulldoze as we were celebrating.
And there's evidence of that?
Yes.
And you have that evidence?
Yeah.
Can you share about that?
I'm just going to tell them that I have a witness statement. Here's one of them.
So I'm looking at documentation of the Olympia survival bands. February 13th, 2013. Stephen Buxbaum, the former mayor of Olympia, Washington, placed quote-unquote unsightly beggar ordinances, as they were called, before 1970 against the homeless family. And then the ordinances that are listed with Olympia's survival bans. This is the legislation that Integrated is currently fighting. And one in particular I'm looking at, 9.16.180. And then there's another ordinance, 18.50.040 and 16.06.030, and then 10.16.030. And so these are
ordinances that make it so difficult to find a way forward. And what we are working on doing is finding a way to overcome these challenges, to be able to have these people integrate back into society and move forward in their lives.
If you also were to look at this other two situations of these paperwork, it says clearly here to buffer against those ordinances that you just read off, and where it says clearly here.
There are appeals. The appeals court states that people who live in tents have the same privacy protections as those in houses. This is written by Heidi Groover, and this was October 11th on 2017. There's even a timestamp at 12:39 p.m.
And also, if you were to look at the next particular information as well, it says...
And so then we have March 6th, 2018, a homeless man's truck is his home. Judge rules in Seattle. So it's interesting how we have this ruling in Seattle, but not in Olympia, our state's actual capital. I had heard there was a support organization that was actually succeeding in helping homeless communities in Seattle. There was progress, okay? There was very notable progress. And Seattle came in and said, no, you've got to stop doing that. You can't do that. You're not allowed. It is illegal for you to go in and do this work that you are doing that's actually making a difference. That's our job. And then sent that organization away. And then the situation just got worse, and they didn't help anything after that.
The organization was Homes Not Handcuffs.
Homes Not Handcuffs, okay.
But it was, their motto was, is that you do not criminalize anybody whatsoever, period. And the unfortunate thing is that when that situation happened, there was actually a group down in California that was also creating tiny houses, and they literally stole all 80 of them from him and removed all the tiny houses completely. And 80 people were back out on the street automatically.
So, you know, all of this gives one the impression that the government, whether it be city, county, or state, or federal, there's like an unspoken conspiracy against homeless.
Yes. We had June 4th of 2018, where we had our public health crisis declared in the in Thurston County for our homeless family as well. Yet, Ty Mincer, who was supposed to be the commissioner over the situation, when he was asked and commanded to go to like maybe the Red Cross and get help for us, he didn't do a darn thing. He just sat there. And then lied to us, saying, oh, I did everything. I did this and did that. I got a mitigation camp going. No, you didn't. It was just housing, myself included. And I ended up on August 1st of 2018, go to court and actually protect that mitigation camp from being closed down. And we managed to make it survive all throughout this time. But every single time we had anything going for us, they literally turned around and betrayed us all over again. Including of which, the date that they had done that horrible travesty of betrayal against us was January 25th and 26th of 2018. And where Anna Schleck, Jim Cooper, and Steve Hall betrayed us. They were Olympia City Hall council member / council employees. And I'm going to tell you this. Jim Cooper commanded Anna Schleck to do these atrocities to us. And Anna Schleck just sat there and took all of the voter registrations and stole them and dumped them in the trash. And so when we actually went back to find out where we could be able to do our voice, she literally told us that she didn't have any of it and tried to flee from me.
How did you find out that they were thrown away?
She told me specifically right in front of Tyler Gundahl of Just Housing, myself and Art Goddard and many others, that she had taken them all and thrown them in the trash. All of our voters' registrations, our voice was taken away from us. Our rights as citizens to help our community was taken away. 893 voter registrations. September 14th of 2020. I and 15 others were inside of an encampment in Tumwater, off of Tumwater Boulevard, next to Quincy Inn. It was a hobo camp that mm-hmm. had previously been used by us many of a time. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful location of 32 acres. And it was so beautiful because that could have been dreams. By the time that, if 20 all the way until now, if we had been allowed to continue, do you realize how many tiny houses we could have been building and dreams that we could have built into this situation? And on top of that, herein lies the beauty of that they actually stated to us. We were the cleanest encampment they had ever seen. Because one of our rules as our nonprofit is that as you were to walk out, we were to take a garbage bag with you. We had standards, and we were following them very carefully because we were going to turn this place into a family unit tiny house village, which is very rare to get anywhere else in this whole entire state. We were given 4 written permissions, and technicality we had 5 written permissions to be on a property. To show how much betrayal can actually happen is this. One of those written permissions happened to be the mayor of Tumwater himself, Pete Komet. He actually told the Port of Olympia that he was not going to remove us or vacate us off the property at all at the time, and that we were to be given full authority to be able to stay on the property, including of which during that time we were also underneath the COVID mandate of no eviction. Because of the simple fact that we had been there from August 3rd all the way to September 14th, that had given us 14 days. And according to the COVID rule, a mandate, it said any persons who were on said property for 14 days was to be allowed to remain and not to be molested or harassed. Period. End of story. Within on August 20th, they literally came in with a bulldozer in the middle of the night as we were sleeping and threw a couple of trees on top of us, almost hurting an actual ADA individual who had disabilities. And half of the tent was completely collapsed, almost right where our individual was sleeping. They almost killed us in the middle of the night. That is not just harassment, that is criminal intent. Then, when that situation happened, we told them to cease and desist. Our attorney actually went to Tumwater City Hall and told them to stop. that we had the mandate that we were to not be evicted. And thus, that's why Mayor Pete Kmet gave us that written permission letter. Then, on September 14th, as I was getting ready to go to University of Washington to a doctor's appointment for my cancer, I get a phone call telling me to come back, and here I'm on the bus, and I have to now get off the bus, literally on I-5, and come walking and busing it all the way back as fast as I can to come find out that they were literally setting up the stupid green garbage can again and had bulldozers and had many, many sheriffs. And they didn't even have a court document or any proof to state that they were giving us a legal eviction whatsoever, period. They had no writ of restitution. They didn't even have a search warrant. They had no court paperwork whatsoever, period. They came onto the property. They broke our lock and proceeded to start harming us. And so I managed to finally get there. I started recording as I was walking in. And I stood there at the gate and I asked the officers to get off our property because you were illegally on our property. The sheriff then proceeded to state that we were under criminal trespass and that we were illegally there and that if I did not get off their property, that he would arrest me. I told him, no, please wait until our attorney arrives so that way we can have appropriate legal and lawful proceedings. He refused. Several times I kept asking, please wait for our attorney to arrive. And the sign, the huge one that was standing at the gate, even stated clearly, please do not talk to any of the residents without our attorney present. It was huge. And then I even pointed to the green sign that showed all of our laws and all of our written permissions that was placed on it. And he still refused. And then he said the ultimate fated words, you are under arrest for obstruction, for daring to stand, to make a stand for the fact that we were legally there. And the fact that not only didn't we have the mandate, but we had the public crisis that had been declared June 4th of 2018, that stated that we had every legal right to be there because we were a nonprofit, but also because we were underneath ministerial and chapel help. And the fact that they had no eviction paperwork, nothing, and they threw me to the ground and put me into a cell. And then I finally get out. And by that time, I'm being told that they had bulldozed everything, including of which 15 tents, one of which was our command tent that had all of our food in it and everything else in our kitchen, and three tiny house structures that were being built, and one chapel that had already been built, including all of our donated supplies that was inside the chapel. And also, they took all of the whatever left of the stuff that they had and threw it into a storage container, one of those semi ones. And by the time we even got to the possessions, it was all wrecked, wet and moldy and disgusting. It was basically, we just had to walk away. It was garbage by that time we even got to it. As we were being able to get our stuff going in the criminal action for when I was illegally arrested, the new attorney that took over my case, the criminal attorney, his name is Kevin Griffin, and I appreciate him greatly. Right as we were about to do trial by jury, the yellow-bellied prosecutor, realizing we had 800 pages of evidentiary processes against them for their persecution and their destruction against us, he decided that he was going to rat tail and try to dismiss the case without prejudice. Well, he did, but the thing is I objected. And the judge, Sawyer, looked at me and said, out of all my 35 years on the bench, I have never had anybody object to having their case be dismissed. But young lady, I'm sorry, but the rules stay that you're being dismissed. But I will give you 5 minutes to tell your story and what is going on. So that way it'll be on record. And then the last and final thing, young lady, I'm going to tell you is this. I want you to go and sue the living out of them because they were totally wrong. I am appalled by them. And so when I explained that in court, the judge had to him and haw for a second, and he said, you know, I'm really sorry, because, you know, in reality, yeah, our authority was usurped to a point. So I am asking and warning, and I am now putting a stand and putting this very clearly, that any of other authorities out there who are not following the law, the true law, not these ordinances that are being placed in by cities, but the true law, meaning the state law and federal law, that you must follow it. ADA standards apply because of the simple fact that each of our homeless family member might be inside of a classification such as veteran, LGBTQI, or any other kind of classification. You putting an ordinance against us is considered discrimination and a criminal act against us in all forms of the deal. And if you can continue to do this, I will not stop. Stress creates mental health. Mental health then creates the need for something of like a crutch. And then that crutch turns into an addiction. And then the addiction turns into depravity. And then depravity into depression. Hopelessness.
Mm-hmm. And then they can come in and create the solution.
What solution? The solution is going round and round in circle, mm-hmm, from service to service to service, and then they send you back to the same service you started at. You can't get anywhere. It's a rat race. Mm-hmm. It becomes a horrible circle of dissolution. But Integrate has come up with as a better solution.
Okay.
You get a place to live, tiny house. You are able to lock the door, which creates a mental health point of safety and security into your head. Then from there, you then are able to start relaxing. All the endorphins of the stress is no longer there anymore. Thus, you no longer need the crutches that are necessary.
And you can get your life back together,
yes,
and move forward.
We can see the light again. We are no longer bound by this feeling of hopelessness. And then finally we realize we don't have to survive anymore. Or we can actually get a job,
yeah,
as a responsible citizen,
yeah,
and be able to leave our possessions knowing we have a security for that, so we can go get that job, and then we have self-satisfaction that we got that job, and thus we don't need those crutches anymore, because the self-satisfaction is huge. That's a different endorphin, a whole better one. Mm-hmm. And thus, with that comes, then you get, because we're doing our citizen stuff, we're paying taxes now. We are actually helping produce into our community better now. So in retrospect, if you were allowing us to actually get our lives back on track, the track actually works. It's baby step after baby step, but you gotta give us the chance, especially the ones who really, really want it. Yes, I know there are poison apples, but you gotta work around them. You gotta keep moving forward and finding the ones who really, really, really need it and desire it. And even though the people have maybe gone to jail, a second chance is actually good. If I were to need to hire somebody, in reality, I would like to actually hire a felon, because then I know that they've already known what the consequences of their actions will be. And so thus they will be willing to really work hard and take that second chance with such gravity and want to do it.
Totally. So along with that solution, what are some practical steps?
One, take the first step and ask for help. That's the first and foremost humbling, hardest thing you can ever do in your life is ask for help. Two, trust again. And that I say with great hesitation and great understanding, because I know it is very hard to trust. So all I'm asking you to do is to create what is called a deal of second trust. So that way you are able to get through the systems and all their requirements and as needed. The person that you went to first to ask for help should be your navigator through those systems. So three, you need to start journaling, because journaling helps you while you're navigating and while you're going through it. And then once you have finally gotten through it all, that journaling allows you to go back and say, whoa, what did I just go through? That is so totally amazing. And then four, don't be afraid to take the first step into the new unknown. I understand that you are in a comfortable spot where you have been placed so long, so that way you can be able to hold yourself in that survival spot. But you need to be able to take the first baby step. I know it's fearful, but you have to make that step and be willing to say to yourself, I want something better, bigger and better. That's what I used to tell my brothers. Bigger and better. Keep looking not down, but look up. You see the beauty. You see life again. So please take the first step just to understand that you are self worth it. You are worth it.
Yes. And these are things, this is a message primarily, I'm it sounds to me that this message primarily you're giving to those who are in that kind of homeless situation. There are a lot of changes going on in the world right now with so many changes with technology. I mean, you've got the digital ID rolling out, and people who are already being stripped of everything that they own, access to everything, because they're refusing it. I'm seeing these posts come up from all over the world. The UK right now is very powerfully fighting this. There are others in the world fighting this. I really believe that the United States' turn is right around the corner. And anybody, I mean, regardless of that happening, there are other situations and challenges that people are going through where you might be next on that list of getting homeless. You know, like there are many people living paycheck to paycheck, and all it takes is like getting COVID for a week or breaking your foot and being out of working for a week, and then bills are not paid. Rent is not paid, and you've just lost everything, just like that. You know, it's people don't realize how easy it is to end up in this situation, you know. And this is where community really, really comes into play, because there's going to come a point where we really are going to all have to come together one way or another. And your advice should be taken for everyone. Everyone should have that. But I think that supporting the homeless communities all over the place is important, because it shows us who where the humanity is. Because at the end of the day, it's the humanity that's going to win, not the people who are acting inhumanely.
So if I may give you a small little beautiful tidbit. I was sitting with nothing on my back. It was barely two days later after that incident where I had all this stuff still sticking on my body. That soda was nasty. But I was just sitting there behind a bush, shivering in darkness, depression, basically wanting to die because I didn't have anybody left. I was alone. And then this wonderful gentleman sees me. His name is Uncle Fury. And he comes up to me and says, "Daughter, you want to come and eat with me, please?" I look at him and say, look at me. And he's like, "No, I want my friend to come and actually have a meal with me, please." He picks me up and takes me to the bigger theater downtown. Not Olympia, the other one. And they were having a Christmas dinner. I balk and thinking I'm not invited because I'm nothing. And he's like, no, come on. He drags me inside. The lady at the front literally tries to throw me out and him out and say, "She's not invited, she's not on the guest list." And he looks at her and says, "I'm Uncle Fury. You realize anybody who's in that building right now are all the ones that we are here to do an actual charity fundraiser for the homeless. And if I told them that you are throwing out one of the people we're helping, all of us are leaving. So you better do it." And then that's when automatically the manager lady comes rushing over and everything else. He gets me a seat at his table. He treats me like a princess, a queen, the whole entire night. Gives me the best food. And then when it came down to that everybody got a gift, his was a purple blanket. But it wasn't his. Because he turned around and he drapes it over me. And says, "Here you go, daughter. I knew it was meant for you."
And it was purple. Isn't that one of your favorite colors?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I'm sorry about crying again. But he was so wonderful and he was so loving the rest of the evening as I got to experience a Christmas. And then he knew that he had to take me back outside to the cold again. But he ended up making sure that I got to the box where they were donating all the clothes and got me better clothes, shoes, and outfitted me so I could go back out, be warm, fed, and clothed. Like Yeshua himself has stated, he recognizes that we give the best we can. We want to love. We want to give you everything that we have. We are humans. We would love to just reach out and say hi. And if you have something in need too, we'll give you the clothes off our back. We'll give you our last mite, our last penny, and say, here, you need 10 cents to get on the bus? Here you go. I needed it for food, but you know what? You needed to get home. Here's your 10 cents. Just even simple stuff. We are willing to give because we know how hard it is out there.
Yeah. How can people get involved and support this work?
We're struggling on finances is number one. Number two, participation. We would like to have a meeting at Power, and I would like to invite you to come and meet at Power, and we could all come together. I would like to invite all former Just Housing members to come back into the meeting. I would like to invite all the rest of the community who has questions about our homeless situation to also come to our meeting. I would say, since Thanksgiving is coming up rather quickly and all the rest of the holidays, maybe we should have a meeting in the middle of all the holidays, so that makes it easy so nobody's stressed out. Other than that, I would say also keeping informed is a huge, huge task as a community member. So that way we are no longer left in the lurch knowing that there's something that's going on. We need to make sure that we are informed of whatever might be happening, especially with our legislators, our city council members, of how they might be causing more cause and effect. And so if we didn't have those who were informed by the community that kept us involved with it, so that way we knew that these ugly laws were going into effect, we were able to thus keep them at bay so that way they weren't as enabled and put into retroactive effect. So inform is a huge, huge, powerful point.
This meeting at Power, and that would be at the actual Power that's on, is it 4th or 5th Avenue?
5th Avenue.
5th Avenue, that's next to Orca Books.
And Rainy Day Records.
And yep, it's right between Orca Books and Rainy Day Records, and is November 24th at 6 p.m. at Power, located between Orca Books and Rainy Day Records. So is there anything else you would like to share? Do you have a phone number that we could put out there for people to reach you?
Yes. My name is Phoenix Holmes. My phone number is 360-522-1516. Thank you.
And people can call you or text you?
Call and text is fine. We would like to request for donations, especially coats, hats, blankets are the hugest thing, along with ADA supplies, especially such as warming materials. We've had too many bulldozings lately that we can barely keep up with canes. Crutches or
wheelchairs
walkers. Are just amazing if we could get a hold of those.
And where can those donations be sent?
Most of those donations at this moment I have a prior small temporary permission to be sending them to Power. If you need to, you can call me again at the phone number of 360-522-1516. We would like letters as reference of interest to stating clearly that we do not like what is going on, and that definitely we do need to have our financial aid not be harmed, and that we should have had our emergency services be allocated to us, that Ty Mincer should have gotten all those necessary materials.
And those letters should be sent to?
To our commissioner's office.
Okay.
And reference it to Ty Mincer or Emily Klaus.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
The last and final request that we would also like is this, is that as you come upon us out on the street, instead of ignoring us and insulting us, that you give us at least a handshake to give us a smile and make us feel like we are worth it, especially during this holiday season. We go to our family. Well, can we go to our family down on the street as well? Please and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. If you would like to get in touch with Integrate, you can reach out by calling or texting Phoenix Homes at 360-522-1516. You can also swing by their meeting on November 24th at 6 p.m. located at Power, Parents Organizing for Welfare and Economic Rights at 309 5th Avenue Southeast between Orca Books and Rainy Day Records. Also, if you would like to know more about the city ordinances mentioned in today's show, or would like to know more about the events shared by Phoenix, you can go to our website where they will be shared with permission to post. The ordinances are stated there, and you can also find them by going to olympiawa.gov.
That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org.
From there, you can follow the link to our podcast archive and listen to any episode anytime. And check out our YouTube channel.
Chaos Radio is not responsible or liable for any views or opinions expressed in the interviews conducted by Resource Report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.